So clearly, I am not Pastor Bill, who was supposed to preach, but as Jay mentioned in his sermon, Bill is not feeling very good, and so he asked me to fill in for him, and he sent me a sermon, so I'll be reading his sermon this morning, along with the youth here. Our theme for the youth this year is actually, I belong, and that's a theme that, oftentimes in churches, the youth, and in society really, they don't know where they fit in. They don't know where they belong. They don't know where they belong in their schools and society. And oftentimes, they don't know where they fit in the church. They're always kind of the off-to-the-side kids in the church for a time and kind of plug back in after they get married, after college, and so on. And so the theme for today's sermon that Bill had picked is the book of Ruth and the theme of belonging, being part of the covenant, being part of the church. And so I will turn it over to our readers, and then the way it's going is the readers will have a certain passage to read, and then I'll jump in with a bit of Bill's sermon, and then we'll just keep doing that throughout through the service.
Our scripture today is found in the book of Ruth, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her sons and her husband.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. I have little doubt that Elimelech struggled with the decision to move away from Bethlehem. We are able to surmise that there has been no intention to make a permanent move to Moab, as the text clearly says that they went there to live for a while. Clearly, Elimelech was faced with hard choices. He had a wife and two sons to feed, and there was a famine in the land. Food was hard to come by. Many aspects of daily life were becoming uncertain. But the necessity of food was a daily reality, and Elimelech had none to give his family. Even though the name Bethlehem means house of bread, there was none to be had, and so they left. They began their life in a foreign land. Yes, the Moabites were cousins to the Israelites from way back through Lot, the nephew of Abraham. But Moab embraced the worship of all manner of gods. Surely Elimelech knew this and was for all intents and purposes committed to keeping his family on track spiritually. However, after a time in Moab, he died. Naomi had to manage the family on her own. Her two sons came of age, and so they ended up marrying Moabite women. For Naomi, it all must have seemed like one trial after another. And then both her sons died too. With the loss of her husband and the sons, she may have felt like there was nothing left to do but return to Bethlehem and die. To Naomi, her future looked dim. And so she made plans to return to Bethlehem. All things considered, Naomi's daughter-in-laws were loyal girls. In fact, they cared for her so much for their mother-in-law that they agreed to accompany her back to Bethlehem. But it was all too much. Naomi wondered what good might come of two foreign girls dropped into Bethlehem. And so she told them to return home. She reminded them that she had nothing for them. She could not provide more sons for them to marry, and so they should just return to their families and their ancestral homes. Better that they find a life in their home country where they belonged, rather than going with her to Judah as foreigners and outsiders. Both adoptive daughters protested and resisted Naomi's urging. In the end, though, Orpah did turn around and return home. But something inside of Ruth prompted her to stay with her mother-in-law. Having been a part of Naomi's family for some 10 years, she was drawn to something more. Her words to Naomi still speak more than three millennia later.
But Ruth replied to Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me." When Naomi realized Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her.
How is it that someone like Ruth was willing to forsake all she knew for something that she was not familiar with? Ruth would have been leaving behind her family and friends. She would have been giving up a known way of life for the unknown. She was willing to sacrifice where she belonged to go to a place where she did not belong. And all of this, she felt compelled to go. Her declared loyalty to Naomi was touching. However, she also spoke of Naomi's people being her people, Naomi's God, her God. And all this extended not only in life, but also in death. Ruth would back up her words with total commitment to a new and unseen country by being buried there alongside Naomi. One of the greatest instincts for people in life is to find where they belong. In trying to find or develop a place of comfort, we often quickly and easily grow comfortable with the known. We build hedges and borders around our lives so that we will remain comfortable and safe. That is so we belong. Yet in Ruth's case, all this she let go of for the promise of something else. The realization of this directed my mind to something the author to the Hebrews wrote. In chapter 11, the Heroes of the Faith chapter, the author to the Hebrews concluded this: "These, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." Ruth gave up her place of belonging in faith for something that she sensed was better. A better belonging, perhaps. Her steadfastness with Naomi was born of something deep within her. A sense that Naomi's people and God were worth sacrificing everything for, so that she would then belong.
Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of the standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor."
In the intervening years between Naomi's leaving and returning, God had blessed the land of Bethlehem once again. Seed time and harvest had returned by the grace of God. One way for the poor to survive in those days was to go to fields and pick up whatever leftovers the harvesters had missed. This was a law of God, that those who were richly blessed would in turn leave something for the less fortunate. And so Ruth went to the fields to see what she might find. And by chance, if you believe such things, Ruth ended up in a field of a man called Boaz. And as it happened, Boaz was a near relative to Elimelech. In this, we see the providence of God at work. In no time at all, Boaz not only took notice of Ruth, but spoke to her.
Boaz said, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, who under whose wings you have come to take refuge."
Great faith is noticeable. Word had gotten around Bethlehem about Naomi and Ruth's arrival, and Boaz had taken notice. This man was aware that despite the adversity and trouble that had come Naomi's way, God was at work in her life. After seeing that Ruth was in his fields gleaning, he gave his overseers instructions to allow her privileges to not only follow along with the other women, but to actually leave extra grain for her to gather. And so Boaz spoke to Ruth and invoked a blessing on the young widow. The day was a fruitful one indeed. And Ruth brought back to Naomi not only food for the stomach, but food for thought.
One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you, where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose woman you have worked for, is a relative of ours."
Naomi knew that Boaz was in a position to be a guardian redeemer. Some of the other English translations use the phrase kinsman redeemer. Both terms can be used interchangeably. The point of the Israelite law in this matter was that such a guardian redeemer could come alongside and take the place of a family member who had died so that the family line would continue. Chapter 3 speaks of how this man and woman came together in such a way, not only for the benefit of the family, but themselves. Love springs in the heart of men and women, and God is always at work in the lives of his people. The complexities of Naomi shepherding Boaz and Ruth towards one another, though, was complicated by an additional reality. And apparently, Boaz was already well aware of the problem he faced.
Although it's true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there's another who is more closely related than I.
The truth was, involving the right guardian redeemer had implications. This would mean that the redeemer would get the ancestral lands of the family he redeemed, as well as being required to take on the widowed woman as wife to carry on the family line. For one who already had obligations, this could be challenging. And so Boaz took the necessary steps to be able to be the guardian redeemer for Ruth.
Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. After conversing, then Boaz said, "On that day you buy the land from Naomi, you must acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it."
By providence, and maybe a bit of shrewdness, the master plan of God advanced. What had at one moment looked to be a roadblock was now a wide open path.
Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead widow with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses." Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel."
And so the losses of the past, the deaths of a husband and sons, were at once redeemed. Boaz stepped up to be the redeemer both Ruth and Naomi needed. It's always hard to see the invisible hand of God at work in our lives when we're in the crucible of life's challenges. In fact, we all too often think God has abandoned us and cares little to nothing for us, even as we are visited by the worst calamity of all, death itself. Surely Naomi must have thought her life was all but done when she began the journey back to Bethlehem. When Naomi had told her daughter-in-law to go back, she made a profound statement to them. "It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." Despite Naomi's feelings at that moment when she spoke, We all need to realize that God always has the last say. We often judge and end too near the beginning. Yet God is in control of each one of our ends right from the beginning.
So Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. The Lord enabled her to conceive and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he be famous throughout Israel."
The union of Boaz and Ruth made an outsider an insider. A person who had not belonged now belonged. So what happens when we find a place we belong? Is it circumstances alone that define our joy and happiness? Or is it ultimately who we belong to?
And the woman living there said, "Naomi has a son, and they..." "And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesus, the father of David."
Yes, may he become famous throughout Israel. I think there's a page missing here. Let me check for a sec. I have a backup manuscript just in case. Nope, that's good. Yes, may he become famous through Israel. Each child of God has a part to play in the unfolding drama, of his purposes. Everyone needs a guardian redeemer to cling to no matter what happens in life or in death. In the end, Naomi did get a son through her faith-filled daughter-in-law. And Obed was to play an important role in the ongoing work of God through his providence. With the grafting of Ruth into Israel, the stage was set for even more people to be welcomed into the family of God.
This, then, is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Solomon, Solomon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David.
The Bible contains many genealogies, each one important in its own context. This one, at the end of the book of Ruth, informs us of a one family that had journeyed to a foreign land and seemingly lost everything was ultimately redeemed. Maybe some here today feel like Naomi returning to Bethlehem. "Call me Mara," she told them, because her life was bitter. Yet she lived to see the day of joy once more. And it was her family who had a significant role in God's plan of redemption for the world.
From the Gospel of Matthew, we learn, Ram, the father of Amminadab, Amminadab, the father of Nahshon, Nahshon, the father of Solomon, Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah.
Matthew in his gospel leans heavily on all that which has gone before. Sometime years after Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension, Matthew set to write down a record of how the guardian redeemer, Jesus Christ, entered the world. In his efforts to do so, he included the genealogical information at the end of the book of Ruth in his genealogy for Jesus. While some in Israel might only credit the male line of Israel for the coming of Jesus, Matthew made it clear that God used women who were outside to bring about his salvation. Here Matthew mentions Rahab the Canaanite and Ruth the Moabite in his genealogy of Jesus. This ingrafting of outsiders into Israel prefigured the work that would come to its fullest expression with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, to make known to the world salvation in Jesus Christ. These foreigners were grafted into God's family to be a part of the salvation to the world. That means each one belonged and had a place before our God. And so it is the same for each one of us, whether we are a child, a teenager, a middle-aged or senior, all of us here have a place and we all belong. Never forget that singular truth, people of God. God still does miracles every day through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our guardian redeemer. Amen. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we have heard your message this morning and we ask that you apply it to our hearts and minds. We ask that no matter how tough things can get, no matter how bitter we may feel, that we will always feel and understand that we belong. We belong to the body of Christ. We belong to the church. We belong to one another in faith, and we belong to you as our Savior, Jesus Christ, for the blood that you purchased us with, Lord. And we also help us also to remember that no matter what, we belong to the kingdom of heaven, and that is guaranteed for us when we trust in you. We pray this very much in Jesus' name. Amen.